This is the Anthem CDA podcast, a church in the heart of downtown Coeur d'Alene. Join us as we seek the presence of God, learn from His Word, and build lifelong connections. We hope this week's teaching brings life and encouragement. Welcome to Anthem.
This evening, I want to spend a few minutes and we're going to kind of wrap up our Advent series and bring this all home for us tonight. Over the last month, we've been talking about hope, joy, and peace, and love. And all of these talks were sort of building up to the anticipation of this moment. But tonight is different than the last 4 weeks. Tonight we gather to celebrate one of the most profound moments in history, the birth of Jesus. And we picture this familiar scene, right? A baby quietly watching over him, the shepherds arriving in awe, and it's this beautiful and sort of comforting image that we get. But if we leave Jesus just as a baby in a manger, we actually miss the bigger picture. And so tonight, I want us to see Jesus for who he truly is. I want us to see the whole picture. Do I have any puzzle enthusiasts in the house? Normally you're not under 40, so I'm surprised to see a handful of you. Puzzle enthusiasts, keep your hands up. You'll really appreciate this. So, I want you to imagine for a second, look at all the puzzle enthusiasts in the room real quick. There's only three of them, so there's not that many. You can put your hands down. I want you to imagine for a moment, though, that you sit down to work on this puzzle, like a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you dump out all the pieces onto this table. That's really bugging some of you, huh? I like that. I'm just gonna keep doing it because I really like that. All right. I want you to imagine you sit down, you dump out the pieces to this puzzle, and you begin to separate the ones that are the edges. You begin to separate the colors and try to make sense of all these pieces that you just dumped out. And then you realize in that moment that you don't have the lid to the box with the picture on it. You see, without the box lid to the puzzle, you have no idea what the completed image is actually supposed to look like. You might guess based on a few pieces here and there and get some of them right, but without seeing the whole picture, it's almost impossible to put the whole puzzle together. And this is often how we approach Christmas. We focus on one part of the story. We focus on Jesus as a baby in a manger. And don't get me wrong, that's an amazing piece to the puzzle. Like, what a beautiful scene. But if we stop here, we actually miss the bigger picture. And tonight, I want to look at the whole picture of who Jesus is. I want to look at Jesus as the creator, Jesus as the savior, and I want to look at Jesus as the king. Because this night was a humble beginning as we know it, but it definitely was not the end, was it? The story of Jesus' birth, as told in Luke chapter 2, is full of wonder. It's full of simplicity. Like, there's something so sweet about this story. Luke 2, verses 6 and 7 tell us this. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Anybody seen Four Christmases? It's so hard to get that scene out of my head when I read this passage. I'm really sorry. But the scene that we see here is just, it's one of humility, right? The savior of the world, born in a stable. It doesn't even make sense. He's surrounded by the smells. He's surrounded by the sights and the sounds of a stable. And then he's laid in a feeding trough for animals. I mean, we often see this perfect little wooden bassinet that he's placed in, but that was not the truth. He was laid in a feeding trough. And in this moment was never intended to be the entirety of who Jesus was. It was never meant to be the culmination of it all. This humble beginning points to something far greater. And the angel's proclamation to the shepherds in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, make this really clear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? All people." Say that together. All people. All of us. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This baby in the manger wasn't just a child. He was actually the fulfillment of centuries of promises. The Bible tells us that he was Emmanuel, which means God with us. The manger was the starting point of Jesus' earthly ministry, but it was never the destination. He came to do so much more than inspire this sweet story that we read once a year. He's more than hope. He's more than peace. He's more than joy. He's more than love. And during Advent, we often focus on these themes. And these are all the gifts that Jesus brings, right? And they're worth celebrating, but Jesus isn't just the embodiment of these virtues. He's actually the source of them. He is them. He doesn't just bring hope. We know that he is our hope. He doesn't just offer peace. We know that he is the Prince of Peace. We know that his joy is unshakable. We know that his love is sacrificial and his love is eternal. And think about the angel's words to the shepherds in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And this peace, the peace is not a fleeting feeling, but it's this deep and abiding reality that comes from knowing Jesus. His love was displayed fully when he laid down his life for us, as John 15:13 reminds us. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And the issue is, like, when we reduce Jesus to these concepts, we actually risk making him a figure of sentiment rather than the savior of the world. Jesus didn't come to make us feel good for a season. That wasn't his intent. He came to transform our lives for eternity, forever. He didn't just offer good feelings. Jesus actually offered himself, the whole picture of God's love in action. The whole picture, creator, savior, and king. And to truly understand Jesus, we need to zoom out and we need to see him in the fullness of who he is. The Gospel of John begins by reminding us of the cosmic scope of Jesus' identity. It says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word actually was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. One, we know that Jesus is the creator. We know that Jesus was present before the world began, that he crafted the universe with his power and with his wisdom, and that this same creator humbled himself to be born in a stable. Like, the one who literally spoke the stars into existence cried out as an infant. And why? Because he's not just our creator, he's also our savior. Paul writes in Colossians 1:15-17, that he is the image of the invisible God, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, everything. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Just realize the magnitude of that statement. And this passage reminds us that Jesus is not part of God's plan. He's the central piece to it. He's not just a part. He's core to it. He is the plan. And Jesus' birth points to his ultimate mission, right? To rescue us from sin, to restore our relationship to God. So Jesus is our Savior. Luke 2:11 captures this perfectly. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Somebody that would save you. Somebody that would rescue you. A rescuer. And the reality is that the manger and the cross are actually deeply connected. We celebrate them at two different times of the year, but they're actually deeply intertwined, because without the cross, the manger is just a quaint story. But with the cross, it actually becomes the turning point in history. It becomes God's ultimate plan to redeem mankind. The last thing is this, is that Jesus is our king. And it sounds like a very simple statement, but you see, Jesus didn't stay in the grave, did he? He rose again. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And now he reigns at the right hand of God the Father, holding all authority in heaven and on earth. And one day we're told that he's gonna return to make all things new. And Revelation 19, verse 16 declares, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody tried to use this to justify tattoos to me one time. Like, and Jesus had a tattoo. It said King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his thigh, you know? I doubt that's it. But this is what we know of him, that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, Jesus wasn't just a king. Jesus was the king. And not just the king, he was the king over kings. Like, he has all authority, all dominion, all power. And he wasn't just king, it goes on to say, and he's Lord of Lords. Like, he wasn't just Lord, like a lowercase L, Lord. Like, in Jesus' time, did you know there were lots of lords during that time? Lowercase L, Lords. Because the lowercase L, Lord, just meant that it was somebody in a position of power. It was a master of some sort. These were lords. But again, Jesus was and is the Lord over lords, the king over kings. And the baby in a manger is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's worthy of all of our worship because he is over everything. A.W. Tozer once said this. Listen to this. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Meaning our perception of God significantly shapes our character. It significantly shapes our worldview. It makes it one of the most crucial aspects of our identity, right? When we see the whole picture of who Jesus is, it shapes how we live. It shapes how we worship, how we raise our kids, how we handle our homes, how we handle relationships. It encompasses like how we spend our money and how we spend our time. Like, it changes everything. How we follow him is so crucial. But what does this mean for you and I tonight? What does it mean to see Jesus as this whole picture? Well, it means recognizing that his story doesn't end with Christmas, does it? It means seeing him not as just a part of our lives, but seeing Jesus as the center of our lives. He's not just a piece. He's not an addition. He's not something we just do on Sundays or something we just do when we pray or when we read scripture. He's actually immersed in all of our life. He's the center of it all. It means not just sitting back and reading the story and contemplating the story, but actually realizing that you're being asked to step into it. You're part of it. And when we embrace Jesus as creator and savior and king, we find the true meaning of Christmas and the true purpose for your and I's lives. This Christmas, church, let's not leave Jesus in the manger. Let's worship him for who he truly is. Let's allow the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that he brings change us and transform us and point us back to the bigger story of his life and his death and his resurrection. Let's live in light of the whole picture, amen? I want you for a second to close your eyes, and I want to read this passage to you. And I want you to contemplate this passage. Just think about this while I read it. Philippians 2, 6 through 11 says this. Who, though he was in the form of God, Jesus, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? This passage just encapsulates the whole picture of who Jesus is and what he came to do. The manger, the cross, and the throne are all part of the same story. The manger, the cross, and the throne. It's the story of God's love for you and I. And tonight, as we reflect on the wonder of Christmas, what a cool season that we step into, a season of remembrance, a season that reminds us of what is actually true in this life, a season that recenters our hearts and our minds back on the things that matter and takes our minds off of the things that we get so distracted by. But I want you to take a moment and marvel at the fullness of who Jesus is. He's more than a baby in a manger. He's more than the virtues that were presented to us through our Advent series. He's a creator. He's a savior. He's a king. And the reality is that he invites each of you to see the whole picture tonight. He invites you to step into the life that he's offering you. It wasn't just a picture that was painted. It wasn't just a carrot that was dangled. It was something that you can partake of. And what a cool thing. Like, I don't know what brings you all here tonight. Some of you were drugged here by family. Some of you came willingly. Very few, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. No. But we all come here for different reasons. The reality is, as I pray for these gatherings, my hope is that you see Jesus for who he is, not who you've been told he was, maybe not even what you've experienced as a kid in the church, or maybe you've had poor experiences, maybe you're sort of jaded, maybe you're frustrated, maybe you're just skeptical about the whole thing. Tonight, my prayer for you is that you see him for who he is, not what anybody else has tried to paint him or tell you that he is, but for you to know who he actually is. He's somebody that desires to be the center of your life, everything to you. It's somebody from which you will build your life. It's the foundation, the only solid foundation that you can begin to build on. And so tonight, this Christmas Eve, might we be reminded of what is truly important and what you're building your life on, because every one of you in this room is building your life on something. You're building your life on something. And it's either something that in months is gonna collapse, in years is gonna deteriorate, at some point is gonna leave you feeling as though you lack hope and joy and peace and love, or it's gonna be built on something that is stable and secure that will weather any storm, any rust, the ups and the downs of life, that will lead you to eternity with Christ and give you the strength to stand strong throughout this life, regardless of what you go through. He loves you deeply. I wanna pray with us, and then after I pray, the worship team's gonna come up and we're gonna partake in Silent Night together and light some candles. But I want you to stand with me. And as we pray, this is what I'm asking you to do, to bow your hearts before the living God this evening. To ask the hard questions. Jesus, what is actually important to me? Jesus, what have I built my life on? Is it stable? Is it secure? Or have I built it on something that could easily deteriorate and fall apart? Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for the gift of Jesus. I thank you that you are more than we could ever imagine. You're our creator, you're our savior, you're our king. And I pray, Jesus, that you would help us to see the whole picture of who you are, that our lives would respond in worship and in gratitude, that we would live lives fully surrendered to you. God, let nothing get in the way of you and your people. Tonight, Jesus, thank you for the reminder that you are who you say you are, that you love us and that you're for us. May each person in this room experience your love in a greater way this holiday season. May they make a choice this evening to step into the bigger picture, to see you for who you are. Again, not who people have told them to be, not who they've assumed you are, but to see you for actually who you are. May we lock eyes with you tonight. May you lift our eyes above the mountains to see you, Jesus, to lock eyes with you. We love you, Lord. I pray tonight, even as we worship you, that our hearts would be filled with gratitude and worship, that we'd exalt your name, Jesus, that for this brief moment, everything that was just confusing in our week or our day or our year would subside as we turn our attention to you and ask that you fill us with your peace that surpasses all understanding in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to reach out to us or see what we currently have going on as a church, head to anthemcda.com or find us on social media at anthemcda. We can't wait to see you next week.